Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ alone.
Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh, hail, Lord, we greet thee. Born this happy morning, O Jesus, forevermore be thy name adored. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, for he
Please be seated. We're going to have a special reading now from the book of Micah by Andrew.
Tonight's Old Testament reading will be from Micah 5, 2 to 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our priest.
Thank you, Andrew. I didn't mention at the beginning of the service, but we have an extra treat tonight as well. Linda here has been organizing a children's choir this year for Christmas, and we've already heard them, I think it was last Sunday. And so now they're going to come, and we're just going to prepare for them, and they're going to treat us again by singing Silent Night.
Like to invite you all to stand with us and to sing the third verse together.
Great to see so many children amongst us wanting to sing the praises of the Lord. We're all going to sing again. I'd like us again to please stand up and We're going to sing one of my personal favorite carols, O Holy Night. And I just love to worship the Lord when we sing this song together. So let's sing together, O Holy Night.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. Thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a true and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh hear the angel voice.
Seated. I'm so glad you brought your singing voices with you this evening. We're going to have the privilege of listening again to scripture from Fatma.
From the New Testament, we read from Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Well, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, we have the real pleasure of having the Nathaniel Ministry Choir amongst us. And right now I want to invite them to come up, please, and find your places on stage. And we're going to be blessed by a couple of songs from them.
Celebrate the child. So while the choir is going back to their seats, I'm sure you'll want me to thank them, and then I want to leave you in anticipation because there's a surprise at the end. That's all I'm going to say. I'll leave it there. But God bless you, brothers and sisters, for traveling the five continents of the world to share the good news in song. Brother Rudy and CT, you're the founders of the choir. Just stand up so that people can see who you are. Twenty-three years ago, God gave them a vision to go all over the world to share in song with brothers and sisters and with the nations, and we thank God that we've benefited from that. Well, if you are like me, you find it very easy to be a creature of habit. And I think at Christmas, it's very easy for us to do something, to do many things, without pausing to think about what we actually do and why we do it. And I think of the choir who visited us from Indonesia. They probably thought nothing of stepping on their aeroplane. Many of us travel. Traveling today is just commonplace, and we think nothing of it. But how about this? 17th of December, 1903, a man called Irwin Wright stood with awe as his brother Orville powered the very first aeroplane on a beach in North Carolina. The flight took 12 seconds. And they were so thrilled that they telegraphed their sister Catherine. And they said to their sister, "We've actually flown 120 feet. And then they said, "We'll be home for Christmas." Catherine hurried to the editor of the newspaper and she shared the news. And he glanced at the telegram. He missed what's in our history books today. And he said, "How nice. The boys are going to come home for Christmas." He missed what had really happened. So I want you to turn with me, if you've got your iPad or whatever you have, or your Bible, turn with me to the first announcement. I don't want us to miss anything tonight. Doesn't matter how many Christmases we've been through. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. And there God's word says, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" Is from the Holy Spirit. "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Lord, as we come to your word this evening, we thank you that our hearts have already been stirred. We don't want to be like the editor of that newspaper who just saw a small part of the news which wasn't in fact the great news and missed the real message. We want to hear you speaking to us again, and we want our hearts to be warmed at the wonder and the miracle of that first Christmas Eve, in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder what today your reaction is to the birth of Jesus. What if God were really one of us? What difference would it make? I want you to walk with me through this passage for a few moments, and I want us to notice three things. If God were really one of us, we would be stunned at God's grace. I mean, you read this passage. It would have been an ordinary morning for Mary, just like any other day. How is God going to step onto the stage of his world? In an ordinary way, but in a mind-blowing way. We read it in verse 18. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child, literally, the Bible says, in the womb, pregnant through the Holy Spirit. I wonder how she reacted. I wonder how you and I would react. I have a friend who climbed the highest mountain in Africa, Mount Kilimanjaro. He was so excited. I remember him sharing photos for well over an hour with me. But I want to tell you about the first explorer who saw the mountain with his eyes, a man by the name of Johannes Rebmann. He saw the mountain in 1848, and he's from Europe. So he goes back to Europe, and he says to the Royal Geographic Society, "There is snow in Africa." Well, what response did he get? "You're wrong. Can't be snow in Africa." And according to the minutes, they suggested that he needed to have his eyes tested. And brothers and sisters, I think it's just one example of often what happens in life. And I think there must have been that kind of a clash in Mary, the clash between what you see and what you know, and then what others believe is really possible. But what if God were real? What if God did something that had never been seen before, and we have not seen it since? Planting the seed of baby Jesus without a man being involved, would God be the God of the impossible if he could not do that? Do you think that Joseph and Mary were baffled? I think they were baffled. We're told in verse 19 that Joseph was a righteous man. A young ladies who here today, Joseph was the kind of guy that your grandmother would really love. And it's because of this, when they get the news that Joseph wants to cut the betrothal privately, and I think you can imagine them getting together. Mary saying to Joseph, "It's good to see you. Sit down, Joseph. I think you better sit down for this. I'm pregnant." I think Joseph would have said, "Come on, dear, this isn't the 21st century. We may be engaged, but you've not been in my bed. So in whose bed have you been in? Joseph, you've got it all wrong. There is no man. I've been visited by an angel from God, and he's told me that this baby is like no other. And Joseph, I am more stunned than you." Brothers and sisters, I know that we're not Mary, but we're all on Facebook. And I think that if Mary had Facebook, this is a day that she would be sharing for the rest of her life. Ordinary person, you would not have looked at Mary twice. But when God becomes one of us, we should be stunned. He does not come to the person who is worth much in the eyes of the world. He does not come to the Hollywood stars. He does not come to the Donald Trumps of this world. Martin Luther, great theologian, said he might have gone to Jerusalem and picked out the daughter of Caiaphas, the high priest, who was rich and who was fair and who was dressed in gold and attended with many servants. But God preferred a lowly maid from a mean town. Here is God saying, isn't he, "I'm a God who's big enough for little people." How do you explain Jesus but for the virgin birth? But more than that, how do you explain Jesus if Jesus were only a man, even a good man, and not God? I love singing. So some years ago, a friend of mine introduced me to the song Hallelujah and to the artist Leonard Cohen. Leonard Cohen is not a Christian. To my knowledge, he's not even a practicing Jew. Leonard Cohen said, "I'm very fond of Jesus. He may be the most beautiful guy who walked the face of this earth. Any guy who says, 'Blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek,' has got to be a figure of unparalleled generosity and insight. A man who declared himself to stand among the thieves and the prostitutes and the homeless. He says it's an inhuman generosity. And he says to me, in spite of what I know about the history of legal Christianity, the figure of the man has touched me." And today I want to ask you the question, how has Jesus touched you? Has he just touched you? Are you touched by the baby? Or are you stunned by Jesus Christ? I don't want to be like the editor of the newspaper who heard about the first flight and said, "Wow, let's go on and look at some other news." This is the news for every age. It's the news for every nation. It's the news for every generation. And I want to pray tonight. Lord, help me to pray this. Open my eyes afresh to see the glory of Jesus. How wrong it would be to remain unmoved. Stir up my affection. If he were one of us, if God were one of us, we would be stunned at God's grace, but then we would be stirred in our hearts by God's love. And I think this is what makes the stable so unique. It's not that God just becomes a man, which never happened before. It's that when he clothed himself in flesh, here is God's promise of hope for all the nations. not just for the nation of Israel. We read that in verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Behold, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Brothers and sisters, what would Christmas be apart from anything else if God were not one of us? And I think this should warm your heart here today. I don't know what situation you come from. You may be sitting here and singing and listening to singing, and you may in fact have a very heavy and a very lonely heart. But I want you to understand today that the message of Christmas is that all you experience, the God who made you has. Could a human being, and scientists tell us that a human being is made up of 37.2 trillion cells. Could a human being, even if he desired, turn himself into a tiny microbe? But here the Bible is saying that one of the members of the Trinity, one of the three persons who make up God, responsible for creating 500 billion galaxies, each with 300 billion stars, this great God chose to dwell in the womb of a young Jewish girl. Moms here today, think about Mary. Week 6 into the pregnancy, and the Son of God was the size of an apple pick. An apple pip. By week 8, he was the size of a strawberry. And the same Jesus will be born and love and grow and cry and feel like you and me. He will run and he will laugh and he will celebrate and he will grieve and he will die on a cross. Where is God? Where is he when what happens in the world and in our lives perplex us? God is with us. And the question today is, are you with him? You remember that song that Joan Osborne made famous, and in fact it irritated many Christians. But you remember the song, and it went something like, what if God were one of us? And you remember what she sang, if God had a name, what would it be? And if God had a face, what would it look like? And the song didn't really answer the question. It just said, yeah, God is great. Yeah, God is good. It's not the deepest comment about the nature of God. But later in the song, she asks a brilliant what if question. What if God were one of us? And she says, just a slob like one of us. And many Christians says, you know, that's blasphemy. But you know, it's actually an excellent question. Because she's asking, wouldn't it be great if God became flesh and blood? Because if he did, then I could see what he's like and I could ask him questions. And if you're here today and you've got many questions, all you need to know and believe is that no one understands you better than your creator, not just in the creating, but in the actual being. We know how God would act if he were in our place. He has been in our place. All you experience, God has. And then, of course, everything you really desire, everything that's precious, God is. Let me ask you, what do you think that Joseph and Mary, young couple, desired for life together? It's what all of us desire, right? Happiness with a capital H. And it's not wrong. Then the question is, how could they really be happy if there was something in the way between themselves and the source of all happiness? Now we begin to see why Jesus came into the world. Because brothers and sisters, I don't have to tell you today that if there was no sin in the world, then we would live in a world that's supremely happy. No war. Everything peaceful. But the same way cholesterol will block the arteries in your heart, the same way it's dangerous, sin in our lives blocks the way from God. the way that God has made for us to be holy and happy. Good news, Joseph and Mary, she will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Stay with me. You ever thought about what your greatest sin is? It's not desiring the God who became one of us. Now, I know that sin is often, we often think of it as what we do to others or what we don't do, but it's more. Sin is God's holiness that not honored. It's God's truth that we don't seek. It's God's wisdom that we don't esteem. And it's even more, it's God's beauty that we don't treasure. It's God's promises that we don't believe. It's God's presence that we don't prize. It's God's person that we don't love. And when you understand that, you understand what a gift it is when God became one of us. David Jeremiah, preacher, says, when Jesus traveled from heaven to earth, he used a round-trip ticket which stops along the way. He left the throne for the manger, and then the manger for the cross, and then the cross for the tomb, and then the tomb for the cross. Listen to this. He left blessings behind at every stop. He emptied himself so that we might be filled, and that is the true story of Christmas. So let me end with this today. There can only be one proper response. If God were really one of us, we would be stunned at God's grace. We would be humbled by God's love. But then, of course, we would be saved. We would be saved. And we would be thrilled with Jesus Christ. You know, if habits make us careless, I think names can also make us careless too. I say my wife's name many times in the course of the day, Hunley. And I become too familiar with her name. And I wonder if God didn't put it into Matthew's mind as he records this gospel in verse 21. You are to give him the name Jesus. And it's so important that after Joseph and Mary are married and their son is born, literally, and he called his name Jesus. And today God is saying to you and me, don't forget the name of my son. Tomorrow you're going to sit around the Christmas table. And you're going to use the name of your families. And as a family, you're not thinking Jessica means this, or Jaden means that, or Aliona means this. But seriously, what's in a name? When it comes to Jesus, it's everything, because only through the name Jesus, only through the name Jesus, can you be given the one treasure that you cannot earn. The name is who Jesus is, and it means he saves. So we ask God, God, what did it cost for the baby to be born in the cradle to become the Savior of all who believe? What did it cost to purchase our joy? Nothing other than my son living up to his name. So understand me today, to stop at the cradle is to go halfway. If you're going to see Jesus as your rescuer, you've got to take the whole package. Lord, did you become one of us? Did you become one of us in dying? Did you embrace a life of suffering? Did you take the punishment of a holy God so that we who trust in you can have all the fellowship of a perfect God? And we know it well, don't we? God so loved the world, the nations of the world, that he gave his one and only Son. He became one of us so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. When I was preparing this message about 2 or 3 days ago, I heard of a single mother who drove her car in Las Vegas onto the pavement with a little baby sitting at the back, running into many people, killing one person and injuring many. Her mission wasn't one of rescue, it was one of destruction. over 3 years ago on December the 14th, a young man called Adam Lanza was enraged by life, killed his mother, then went to a school in Connecticut, killed 20 children and 6 teachers. What you may not know, what I didn't, was that there would have been a lot more fatalities but for the actions of one of the teachers. We would not remember her otherwise. Her name was Vicky Soto. She's 27 years old, and she was the teacher of first grade students. And as the shooting happened, she pushed some of the children into the closet, and she helped others to escape. And then when he pointed the gun, she threw herself in front of some other children. And what the chief of police said struck me. He said, all law enforcers are asked what they will do if given that moment a life-threatening decision has to be made. She answered that question. Through her strength, she took action to save the life of students. I know because I've spoken to students in her class who are alive because of what she did, who are alive because of what she did. Brothers and sisters, that's heroic, but I want to say this to you. In a much greater way, this is what God did for all who believe in Jesus Christ when he became one of us. The courage that he put in that young girl's heart is an echo of what God has done for us in Jesus. Hope of Christmas today is that there was one man, one perfect man who went all the way to the cross. 2,000 years afterwards, the message is still the same, and it will be the same until Jesus comes again from glory. I want to say to you today that it's a message that not just individuals need, but every culture and every generation. And Belgians need it, and Indonesians need it, and Asians need it, and Africans need it, and Europeans need it, and rich people need it, and poor people need it, and everyone needs to hear that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. What if God were one of us? Then the question is, are you in on this? And if you haven't done so, I don't know everybody here today. What better time than now to just look beyond the wrappings of Christmas, you know, everything that's buzzing around, to the real gift. The Bible says, be reconciled to God. Jesus is that reconciliation. And to ignore Jesus is to kind of look at your gift under the Christmas tree and then to just kind of leave it unopened for the rest of the year. And I pray that if you've not yet bound your heart to him, you'd get rid of the pride. Get rid of the pride. Pray that you might see him as he is. Turn from sin and believe in him. And we who've opened it up, I want to pray that every Christmas will not become an end in itself. I want to pray that with every Christmas, I will be more stunned by the grace of God. Or more humbled by the love of Jesus, even for me. So that I may be able to sing as Jesus is my treasure from the heart. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. What a Savior. Join with me as we give thanks together. We really don't want to be, Lord, like the editor of that newspaper who was given incredible news and then just ignored it completely. As we go through this wonderful time of the year, as we spend time with family and friends, as we open our gifts, oh God, we don't want to miss the greatest gift of all. We don't want to live our lives ignoring the one who's not only taken away the barrier between man and God and his peace between God and man, but the one who has come to give us the greatest pleasure in life, Jesus Christ himself. And so help us as we continue to worship you now in song and through the rest of this evening as we celebrate the birth of Jesus the King. May we honor him in our lives, and may others in looking at us see only him, and then you will have the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like us to stand together, please, and we'll sing together. Joy to the world, the Lord has come.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more sins and sorrows grow, no thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love.
Won't you just be seated, please, at this stage? In a moment or two, I'm going to share the benediction with you, but before I do that, let me just say that I have a gift that I would love to give to you if you haven't received it before. It's called Ultimate Questions, and there's no charge for it. It's our gift to you, and I'd love to give you one either at the door or downstairs. Just come to me, and the only condition is that you say, I'm going to read this. I'd love to give you a copy, as please receive one. And then we were so happy to take a love offering on Tuesday for the Nathaniel Ministry Choir. And these folk come to other countries entirely at their own expense, and all they ask is that they sell their incredible CD. I bought one. I was so taken with their music that I got one. It's only 15 euros. God so loved, and you can hear more of what you heard today, and they'll be sold downstairs in the fellowship hall. So what's going to happen after the benediction is somebody heard me saying on Tuesday that I had seen the video clip of them performing in South Africa. And man, my heart was stirred when they sang Siya Hamba. Who here is from Africa? You should know that song. I think it was written in the 1950s, and it's called We Are Marching in the Light of God. And I can't wait for the choir to share with us after the benediction. If you feel you've got to get away and you've got to go to a meal, please do that. But if you can stay, you're going to be blessed as they bless us on our way, marching in the light of God. Let's just stand together for the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. And the Lord give you peace. We thank you today, Heavenly Father, for Emmanuel, God with us, who is the peace for nations, the peace for individuals, the peace in every situation, who is healing and hope and joy and life and light. And we pray that this evening and every day of our lives, we would honor Jesus Christ and we would march to his tune in his light for the rest of our days. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.